I had been warned before I came here by Father Selner that the pulpit was elevated. He said it was going to be so high that he might get altitude sickness. I think it's about right. So, here, not too thin up here. This morning I'd like to tell you a story that really pertains to the theme for this Sunday. And the theme is God's mercy. This is a Sunday that follows the Feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And on this theme of the mercy of God, when I was in the seminary, we had an old priest, Father Clement Kubisch. In fact, he was actually from the Archdiocese of Omaha. Been a priest for over 50 years. Very experienced priest, and a lot of stories to tell. But one that I'll never forget, Father Clement Kubisch was on a sick hall in a home for the elderly. And he was just leaving the home for the elderly, and as he's going out of the lobby, there was an elderly man there, and he greeted him, saying, "Hello, Father." And he turned around and said, "Well, hello to you." And something told him, I mean, an inner voice said, "You should talk to this man." And he said, "Well, where are you from?" He said, "Well, from around here, but not originally." And originally he was from somewhere in Europe. He could have been England or Ireland. And he said, "Are you Catholic?" And the man said, "I guess. I was baptized to make my first communion. But it's been many years since I have gone to church." And Father Clement said, "Well, why so?" "Father, it's a long story, and you don't got the time for it." He says, "I got plenty of time. I don't have any appointments this afternoon. I'd like to hear your story." And he sat down, and the man said, "Well, I'll try to make a long story short. I was a little boy. My father was an alcoholic. He used to beat up on my mom, beat up on us kids. We were very, very poor. It was like the big thing was just being able to have food to eat. And one morning, very early, my mother woke me up and said, 'Get dressed quickly and quietly.' And then she led me out the house down the driveway." And he said, just whispering, "Mom, where are we going?" He says, "Wait until we get down to the road." And she said, "Someone's going to pick you up and bring you to this city. There's a port there. You're going to get on a boat and you're going to go to America because we have no future here. You know how your father is? And it's just getting worse and worse. This is your only chance to make something of your life." He was crying and he shook his head, "Mom, I don't want to go. I don't want to leave you." And she said, "It's for your best. I've made all the arrangements. You need to go. This is for your own good." And then she took his hand and put it over her heart and said, "Promise me that every day you'll say three Hail Marys to Our Lady." The man, making a long story short, said he came to this country and was kind of lost. Now, I do know, I've heard of this before, but there were a lot of people who came to this country thinking that they'd find a job right off the bat and make money. And they're very, very poor. Sometimes the parents bringing the families over, they would die or get sick. And there were a lot of kids left orphans. And just a little story, last September, I was here in Minnesota and was at a little diner getting a bite to eat. They had this book about the orphan train. And this is just a side note. I never even heard of this, or I maybe vaguely heard of it, and I thought, well, this is fascinating. It's looking at pictures, all these black and white pictures of these kids sleeping on the streets, sleeping in the alleys of New York City and some of the bigger cities back east. And it was a catastrophe. These kids were like, had nowhere to go, no one to take them in, no food to eat. And suddenly, finally, organized what they call the orphan train. They sent telegraphs to all the different states in the Midwest, maybe Minnesota, Iowa, Nebraska, Kansas. And they said that this train, when it comes, if you can find the generosity in your heart to adopt these kids, it'd be great. There's a picture of an older boy with his little brother. They're squeezing their hands like the caption was, "We're a package deal. We go together. We're not going to be separated." Now, this book was so fascinating to me, and I'm getting off onto a tangent, but I'll be right back to the story of Father Kubish and this guy at the restaurant. But I wanted to get a copy of this book, so I asked her, the diner owner, I said to her, "Can I buy this book for you?" This is, I kind of had heard about this, but I didn't know all the details. It was a fantastic book, and the pictures was incredible. She said, "Well, no, that's my only copy." So she says, "If you want to buy the book, here's the lady's brochure and her name and phone number somewhere." So I called the lady about 3 or 4 times. She said, "You didn't answer my call." So like, no. But then I looked real closely at her address, Sleepy Eye, Minnesota. So I thought, you know, Father Selmish from Sleepy Eye, I wonder if when he's driving up here, he could swing by this lady's house and say, "Hey, why don't I buy a book for him?" So when I started telling him the story about somebody wrote this book on the orphan train, he says, "Oh, he was screaming, Mrs. So-and-so. I said, "Do you know her?" Father Summer says, "She lives across the road from us." I said, "Why don't you call her right now?" Now, my area code is 402. But when she's an elderly lady, when she recognized the 507 area code, she answered it right away. And she says, "Oh, Michael, how are you? So good to hear you. And oh, how you been?" And Father says, "Tell me, yeah, it's good, Mrs. So-and-so. Yeah. I got a book right away." So getting back to this fellow, somehow he ended up in Nebraska. And he was so busy trying to survive that going to church just kind of completely left him. And you know, once you stop going to church and stop going to sacraments, it's easier. As each year goes by, it's easier to make excuses and then, you know, you get further and further away. So this is the story this elderly man told Father Clement Kubish. Father Clement said, "You know, even though it's been a long time, you can come back to God and come back to the church. I can hear your confession even right now. I just had a sick call. I had my purple soul. I don't know if I can remember any of the prayers or how to do it. Is that helping?" Father heard his confession. Father left. Father was thinking, "I need to give, maybe bring Holy Communion next week. I want to follow up with this." But the next week, when Father inquired about him, the staff said, "Oh, he passed away a couple days ago." Stop and think of that. Of all the circumstances that this man had in his life, being from Europe, coming to New York, and from New York somehow ending up in Nebraska, he never failed to say those 3 Hail Marys to Our Lady. And in that moment, when Father was leaving their home for the elderly, God from all eternity knew that at that moment, that man would be sitting there, and that is his opportunity to come back to God. There is no way that it can happen by accident. That shows the mercy of God. On the other hand, we should remind ourselves this, that mercy of God is infinite. God will forgive us our sins, no matter how many or how great, as long as we're truly sorry. But let's not make a mockery of God's mercy. Like, "Oh, I'll just commit sin. I'll just go to confession right before I die." I'll be one of those stories that they hear in the sermon. It might not. And I'll tell you another story. Father Clement Kubish talking about this one girl in his parish that was really going off the deep end, big time. Stopped going to church, was very defiant to her parents, just a wild kid, real wild. One night she was out, I think it was a Saturday night, out late with two other guys. Guy's pickup truck, driving really fast on the gravel road. And they came over a hill, and what they encountered. Farmer with his tractor and a trailer, and the trailer was full of irrigation pipes. And he was just trying to wrap up his work, trying to deliver these irrigation pipes out to a field. They came over that hill so fast, those irrigation pipes went right through the front windshield, and that girl got impaled. There was no time but a split second, no time to say, "My Jesus, mercy, God, have mercy on me," anything. It was like over in a split second. And those are the types of deaths that make you feel really sick as a priest. Like, I have a really bad feeling she's not in a good place. And she's not going to be in a good place for all eternity. So you don't want to mock the mercy of God. I ought to do this and that, whatever else. Let's remember, God's mercy is infinite. No matter how many sins we've committed or how great, if we're truly sorry and we deserve a result to amend, God will forgive us. But on the other hand, let's not play games with God, because we never know what and how long we'll live here on earth, or when God's going to call us, or what's going to happen by which we leave this world. We just don't know. And that's why Jesus has said so often in his public life and teaching, not only people of his time, but us too, we don't know the day nor the hour. Be always ready. Always ready to stand before God. But let us remember this. Scripture tells us, a contrite and a humble heart God will not despise. We have so many beautiful parables of our Lord. He talks about the publican and the Pharisee. The Pharisee standing in front of the church. "I thank thee, God, that I'm not like the rest of men. I pray and tithe and do so that I fast. Not like that sinner back there." And that publican in the back is just scraping his wrist. "Oh God, be merciful to me, the sinner." Jesus said that the publican and the sinner goes home justified. Our Lord talked about the prodigal son. Wanted his inheritance, squandered his money, living riotously, reduced to poverty, eating food that's fed to the pigs. He's tattered clothes, and he thinks, "Not even my father's servants live like this. I'm going to go back and tell my father, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven, against thee. Take me as one of thy servants.'" And our Lord in the parable says that the father, representing God, sees his prodigal son afar off. And what does the son, what does the father do? He runs and embraces him. And he tells the servants, "Get him some clothes, get him some sandals, kill the fatted calf, because my son was dead, and he's come back to life." Now, I don't remember, forgive me, I'm not related to President Biden, okay? I don't remember everything. But I don't know if I told you the story or not, but if I have, you can just fall asleep for the next 2 seconds. One woman asked me if she could take her daughters to see a lecture, or hear a lecture on modesty. I said, "Who's going to give it?" She tells me the lady's name, and I thought, never heard of her. So I looked her up on the internet. I'm still on the phone looking her up on the internet. And she had a pretty fascinating story. This girl, I believe, grew up in Missouri. Small town in Missouri, Catholic family, prayed their rosary. And she got about 16, 17, she got real wild. 15, 16, 17, got real wild. By 18, she left home. She saw an advertisement in the newspaper or a magazine or something that you could be a model and pay all this money if you go to New York. At 18, thinking she knows everything and has the world by its tail, she goes, lives in New York and becomes a model and became an up-and-running model that was even on television. And everything, and she has the world at her hands, you know, fingertips. Just everything's happening, working out for her. But she relates she felt empty. All the smiling and all the tilting of the head and the posing, she felt empty. She felt like I'm never good enough. Then she got a job. She had a contract with some company, and they wanted her to dress very modestly. And she thought, well, what the heck? I've gone this far. What's a little bit more? And during that session when they're taking the photos, she blacked out. Now she says, I didn't necessarily see God, but I was in front of a very bright light, and I felt, when I blacked out, this is divine presence. And she said, I put my hands in front of my face, and I looked at my hands, they were empty. I had nothing to offer God for what I had been doing in my life. When she came to, they asked her, you want some water? Are you okay? Do I go to the hospital? And her first thought was, I need to go home. She says, I need to make a phone call. And she said, call the phone, call home. Dad answered, said, Daddy, come and get me. Her dad drove all night from Missouri all the way to New York. He drove all day, all night to get her. And she thought, I am so afraid to face him. I've shamed the family. I've been an embarrassment. I am so ashamed of what I've done. First words, when she, you know, Dad knocks on the door, she opens up the apartment door. He said he loved her, and it just was so good to hear her. Her reaction was, my dad is so loving and so forgiving that I felt so relieved. And it also reminded her, if my dad's like this, God is certainly much more humble and kind and understanding. And, you know, our Lord's sacred heart was very forgiving. And now she tours the United States speaking about modesty, women dressing with dignity. But it's an interesting thing to go from one extreme, like being a Mary Magdalene, to becoming a saint. And that just goes to her and shows the mercy of God. And you know, the history of the church, what we read in the lives of the saints, there were some who were not born saints. They lived great, they were great sinners. But our Lord's sacred heart brought them back, the lost sheep. So what does this teach us but the mercy of God? How God is merciful and loving. And let us never despair of God's mercy. Let us always go to Him when we have fallen with a contrite and humble heart. And our Lord will always receive us back, that lost sheep, to the fold. In the name of the Father,